Copples Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Copples Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports on CWCP Radio. My name is Tony Copple. Today, for the second time in our existence, we're broadcasting a personal heart-to-heart with someone who has been a gangster for much of his life, but is now a reformed character and wants nothing more than to help other people not fall into the track of gangsterism. This time, we have the pleasure of speaking with Ibrahim Sambu. As you will hear, his life has been a mixture of extreme illegal activity and transformation by the Holy Spirit. It is he who wants this story to be heard. It is he who feels blessed by what the Spirit has done in his life, and we are only too happy to facilitate that. The interview is twice as long as I would normally put into one program, so we're going to have part one this week and part two next week. In very rough terms, part one shows his early life as a gangster, and part two, his new life after his transition and his thoughts that he would like to share with other people who may be tempted into the world of crime. Today, my guest is Ibrahim Sambu. Welcome to CWCP Radio, Ibrahim.
Good afternoon, Mr. Tony. It's a very a privilege. The greetings is in the wonderful name of our Christ, Savior, Lord, the King of Kings and the man above all men. So, yeah, it's really a blessed to be here.
Now, you're a young man. Do you mind telling everybody how old you are?
I'm 23 years old right now. I'm 23.
You have had an exciting life so far. You have been a gangster for much of your life.
Yes.
Why don't we start off where you can tell us what it was that led you into gangsterism?
Yes. For me, I was raised up very, very good. My mother raised up me very good. Discipline, respect, all of that stuff. But the age of 13, 14 years old, I was getting to new friends and they changed my whole life. I was having nothing at that moment. And for me, that was making me into going to gangsterism. Like, and I was rise up, with only my mother. My father, was not there for me. So that thing was missing in my life. The father love of a bond of a father. And that was the things that are dragging me into gangsterism. I was wanting to get attention from another man or so. And at the time I was very young, I was seeing that my sisters and so they were dating gangsters and so on. So for me to going into gangsterism, it will be fun, because why my older sisters and the things that I have want is in gangsterism. So for me, it was in to make a statement and to be the guy, so I must join the guys. So for me, it was very a difficult time for me, because I didn't can focus on what I really want in life, but I was focusing what my emotions want or what my emotions feel.
So that was the start of it. Tell us about your life in those early years, mm-hmm. In the gangs, mm-hmm. What kind of things were important to you? The kind of crimes, maybe, mm-hmm. that you were committing.
Yes, about early in my life, as a gangster, I guess, gangster leader. So for me, life was making us opponents fear, making us our enemies, let them know that we are the guys and that we are running the show. And earlier, we was very evil, very heartless. In show, and especially as we was the guys that the devil used to put gangsterism into the next level. And as I can see now, four years back, as I standing outside of gangsterism, I can see now is way different on another level right now, because that the devil was using us to embrace a bigger universe for him. And my life as a youngster, I have I'm a smuggler with Tuck. I have was in like an addictive to alcoholic, addicted to woman, addicted to sex, and so for me was getting young girls and young boys better and so, and to know him and so on. And my life at a young age, it was very how can I say, there was very gaps in my life, and for me, I have to stand as my own father, I have to stand as my own man. So what will make me a man is to walk with a gun or to walk with a knife. So I tried to hurt families, I have really feeling bad right now, and I have making young girls very very broken and so, making young boys very sad, making mothers, making fathers heart sad because of my brokenness that I had in life.
You obviously have a big conscience about this now, but at the time you didn't have any conscience about it, did you?
No, I didn't have any conscience about it, because why? For me, gangsterism was like I was looking after my brothers. My brothers are looking after me. We was very young. We was a girl. We was very young at the age, and we were running Avon Park that time. We were the top guys. We were the main guys, and for us, we were liking we are the best at what we do. We are the best at what we want. So for me as a youngster that time, I was very blind, but I thank God that I can see now. Now we was sitting back in the X Park, back in a hockey where we used to sit, and just suddenly we was hurting that one of our biggest leaders is just was stabbed in. Gang changed by the enemies of ours.
Okay, so he was stabbed by members of another gang.
Yeah.
Do you want to say the names of the gangs? No.
I cannot do it.
Even now.
Even now, I cannot do it.
Okay, so suddenly at your young age of 14, you're in the middle of this warfare. And yeah. Were you frightened?
You know, I was 14 years, and then I was just like, you know, I cannot go into school anymore. School doesn't making me happy or so. And then I've dropped out of the school, because why now? I must focus on myself to save myself. And for me, staying in Avon Park and was by another gang outside of Avon Park was very difficult for me. And at the age of 14, 15, then I've started, me and other three guys, that today are one of the biggest leaders in crime in Worcester. We have started our own call, and from that on, my whole life changed, because why we are really into the thing of gangsterism. We are really into making people hurt. We are really into to say wherever gang that are in Worcester or so, that they must believe that we are also in the grounds. And 15, 16, I've started smuggling with Tuck in my mother's house, and then certain guys, one of the biggest criminals in Worcester, they have come into my yard, and they have sit and they have come in, they like asking who is Zuppi, and I was saying, now it's me. And they want to shoot me in my own in my own yard.
Why?
Because we was very young, and we was the kind of young guys that were partying, having lots of young girls, we were just having fun from the Monday till the next Monday, and people didn't know where we get the money or so, and even gangsters were confused where they are young, but where they get the money, and so they are getting jealous, and so they are getting scared because we were a crew, and so they were thinking, hey, these people are standing in our ground, so if we didn't set our foot down, they will not follow us, and so. And two guys came into my yard, and they have said to me, you must come be one of us, or we will shoot you, my man.
And what did your mother think about all this?
For me, my mother was heartbroken, and my mother was very disappointed because I was a very intelligent young guy and a very sport active. And for me, that she was very emotional for years, but for me that I have learned that she never give up as a mother upon me.
And your other brothers and sisters, were they all living here in Avian Park with you?
I have one brother from my father's side, but I didn't see him in 19 years. I never knew him. I never saw him in 19 years. The first time that I have saw him was at my dad's funeral. And then I found it and realized that I have a biological brother. And for me, my sister was very young and beautiful. And she also has a guy that was into gangsterism, and I was also small that time. And that guy's father was one of the biggest emergence or gangster leaders in Worcester that time. So I said to myself, wow, looking at my sister's boyfriend, he's swag, he's right, he's clothes are good, he have money, he have a car, so I want to be like him. And my cousins also, they have took a guys that are in gangster. So for me, I have grown up in a gangster environment.
You were doing drug dealing, but were you actually taking the drugs yourself?
No, I didn't talk, but I also know how buttons and how tachat high grade. Also, I knew how it tastes in. I was not into drugs really, but my problem was alcohol. And for me, I was so into alcohol that I have drinking a 1,000 rand out, like it was nothing. I have stolen my mom's bank cards, it was nothing. So for me, I need for me to love and focus on what I was doing, I need to drink a couple of bottles or so. And for me, if I didn't have money or so, me and my brothers were getting people or stealing things just to get a money to drink.
I often wonder if people who are selling drugs and alcohol, illegal alcohol, if they realize that they can probably make more money if they don't actually take the drugs themselves, if they stay sober all the time. What do you think of that?
Yeah, most merchants or most guys that are selling drugs, they didn't use it because they can't take from their business, or because if they take it, the business will go down, because now he's eating from his province.
All right, so we now have a situation. You're probably 18 or 19 by now, at that stage.
Yeah.
And you've got you're doing very well in the drug business. You've got lots of money, probably lots of girlfriends, and you're actually enjoying yourself. What did you feel was your future? Did you just want to rise up in the drug world, the gang world?
My thing was like, I want to be the biggest, and I want to be the baddest man, and I was one hell of a crazy guy. that I was that kind of guy that walking alone with a knife to my enemies in on the place or on the grounds and going into me and come back alive. And for me, I was saying to myself that gangsterism is life. Gangsterism was the thing that will uplift me or so. And I was very, very brutal. I was very evil. I choose my brothers above my family, above my mom. So I was into gangsterism very, very badly.
Mm. You were making quite a lot of money in mm-hmm. gangsterism, mm-hmm. probably mainly from selling drugs.
Mm. Yeah, I was 14 years old when I have selling drugs there outside of my mother's house in I'm smuggling with Dacha that time with the pigs of Dacha that time in Turk now and then. So certain gangsters didn't a new way or way we can get the money, because every weekend we have a party from the Friday till the Saturday. So the question was like, where did this young guys getting the money, but they all are in school. And so life becomes so dangerous that emotion in physically, so that I must have drop out of school. And when I have dropped out of school, there is come and changed a lot of things, because now I cannot walk outside of Avon Park.
How did you obtain the drugs that you were selling?
The drugs was something for me that I know it was blood money, and I know, but this that will give me something to eat, to buy me clothes or so.
Were there people coming into Avian Park then each week or so and just selling you the drugs? Mm-hmm. Is that how it worked? Were they bringing it in that way?
No, they are certain people in Avian Park in Worcester that are doing wholesales in so, buying grams and so. So you must go to them and to get your stuff. So I was getting my stuff from a certain guy. So, yeah.
So it sounds as if everything in the garden was lovely, mm-hmm. but it didn't last, did it?
No.
Things started to change for you. Can you explain what it was that made you start thinking differently?
Yo, this was a very good question, because why I was in the stage that me and my brothers we were the kings in the chessboard. So I was laying there in Worcester police station cells, and I was charged with 9 cases. And in that time I was broken, because why my parents didn't even bring me a cigarette or come and visit me or so. The first person that come there was my mother, that come there and to give me a packet of cigarettes to say, my child, I won't give up on you. And then she was walking out, and I was like, God, just please give me one more chance to doing right with my mother, or if you save me, if you will come to what does cases against me, I will serve you until I can't serve you no anymore. And from that day on, I was feeling a bit changed in my inside. And while I was getting out of cells, we was busy with the party day. And my answer to the guys was like, guys, will you believe me if I say this is the last party? Because I'm young guys from all over Worcester, this is coming to my house. We were supposed to party there. A lot of young girls and all of this stuff, because that time we were the guys. And and the guys, they have laughed to me. They're like, no, you won't change, man. No one expected me to change, because I was the one that feeding the sheep. I was the one that leading the sheep. So they didn't knew that I would do something like that just to leave them there. And my life was getting so so evil that the cases against me are attempted murder, ETB, and all of this stuff. And I just remind God what my prayer, and there was the auntie She's a pastor today. She's staying in my street. She's my spiritual mother. She said to me the day before the party, two days before the party, she wanted to spoke with me, but I didn't go to her. In that time, that Saturday night, I was busy fighting with my auntie. And that lady come into, and she took me to her house, and she said about me what about Jesus Christ and what he can do for me and all of this stuff. And in my brokenness, in my heartless times, in the time that I never expected that I will serve the Lord, that time and that night I was giving and I was surrendered to my Lord and Savior.
But this wasn't the first time that you knew about your Lord and Savior, because mm-hmm. you were born into a Muslim family, mm-hmm. and your mother was a Christian, or she yes. became a Christian.
She became a Christian.
And she brought you into Christianity at a very early age, yes?
Yes, because why? The family, my mother's father's family, they all stay in Cape Town, so they all are Islamic and so. But for me, the question was also to my mom, why and which are they in? If they work in church, and so my mom said, no, they are other religion. And I have spoken to my mom. I was working a Sunday school. I was working church with my mom. I was going up in the church, and so I said to my mom, no, I won't accept that religion or so, but I want to do the things that mom do, to going to church and so. And from that on, I was going up in the house of the Lord. But the things were changed when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old.
Now, coming back to the time when you had decided that you'd had enough of the life of drugs and gangsters, what about the other gangster leaders in Avian Park at that time? I imagine they weren't too happy to hear what you were mm-hmm. saying. Did any of them follow your lead mm-hmm. and also leave the life of gangsterism?
No. That time for me, it was before the war right now in Avian Park. It was 2014. It is a couple of years before the war that is going on in Avian Park. And for them to know, he's leaving us or so, that special, there were certain guys that are supporting me because they knew that I won't make it long there in gangsterism if I stay there. So, there were certain guys that are supporting me, and there were certain guys who was against me. So, the reason why they're against me, because why I cannot leave them and leave them right there, or I cannot go and change my life and they have nothing to feed or so. So, That was the thing that I have to deal. Some of them was being good. Some of them was being bad.
But did you feel your life was in danger at that time from anybody?
Yeah, for me it was very in danger, because why I have a tattoo in front of my head that was standing JSY, and for me, I was like, Lord, people won't believe me if I'm saying I'm a Christian, because why? Here's a big gangsterism job. And for me, it was very hard to face a challenge like that. The man, the madman, or that most in Afrikaans that they said used to serve the Lord now, and people have doubted me, and the Lord have shown them wrong. And I have said to myself, Lord, I need to change. And before that, I need a new ID. I need new. I have never had a bank account. My first bank account that I have, I was 19 years old. And I have said to the Lord, just please show me your hand. And the Lord have took this chase right up in front of my head away. I am 2 years clean now. This tattoo in front of my head are gone. So now I can go for my ID. So now I can face the world with a better child, with a better smile, with a better image. So the Lord are really a wonderful Lord.
Now let's move forward. You've had this experience. You were in the gangs. You then renounced the gangs. And that over the last 4 or 5 years, your whole life has changed. Tell us that story.
over the last four, five years, my life as a Christian, it was very sad. It was very happy. They were all things in that. But I never regret the day that I have met the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, because it's of Him that I am where I am today. And before I came to God, I have nothing. I didn't have a work. I didn't have a good grade in school. I have nothing. I'm just a boy. Is David to be just a boy, and no one knows my value is Isai knows David's value. But until the Lord come away in the Lord picked me up from that day on, and is the Lord rising David, the Lord rising me. So from that day on, I went to place to do my testimony. But for me, I have nothing in my home. I have nothing to give in my home or so. All I have at that time was Jesus Christ to provide to strengthen me forward. And so my family started to disbelieve, because I serve a God, but when do I work or so? And till that day on, I was keeping forward. I was doing updating my grades there at Worcester Learning Center, and from last year. And so I get a chance to do a course in Biafra, and I do the course. In the time that I do the course, and I was fixing my details to Pretoria. Pretoria sent the details back to me. They said they cannot give me the work because I have 9 cases. And the devil took me back in the hours like, wow, didn't the court dropped the charges against me in the nine charges against me, and the Lord took me back into the law so that the law can clear my name, so that the Lord can give me something new. So for me, it was very a powerful, a very massive feeling this 5 years. And for me as a boy that starting from nothing, that has nothing, and look at him, where I am today, and it's only because of Jesus. And for me is a young boy or young girl, even now you have nothing, or even now people think nothing about you. I just want to say that you are a prince or you are a princess, because why? Your father is a king.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in God. Growing in Hope, Part 1. My name is Laurianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we learned how important love is as the foundation of our lives, especially the agape love of God. When we grow in love as His sons and daughters, we grow well. We also learned of the love languages, and I challenged you to not only find out your own ways to best receive love, but also those of your spouse and friends. In outreach, it goes further than that. Can you imagine the inroads we would make in reaching out to those who hate us through their love language? I also personalized the biblical love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. When you stop and think about all the wonderful qualities of love, being patient, kind, not irritable, persistent, and long-suffering, it appears even more real when we put our own names in love's place. How do we achieve these high goals? We can't. Love's goals are only possible with God's love flowing from us. That's where the living water of the Holy Spirit comes in. He's the one who gives us the compassion we need for ourselves and others. Near the end of 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul says that three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Today, I've been led to seek out hope. Hope to me is like a life preserver as you float on a sea of hard times. Real hope is powerful. It's not wishy-washy at all. Hope is commonly used to mean wish. In this context, its strength is the strength of a person's desire. But as shown in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised and believing that He is faithful. It ties in with trust. Trust and hope are absolutely essential in progressing towards faith, which goes further in expectation. Hope is future-based. Hope gives someone who is struggling in the midst of problems a positively based goal that there will be an end to the problems and a better life ahead. Pete Seeger wrote a folk ballad about this type of hope, and his song became a banner for the civil rights movement in the 1960s. Hear the words and their cry for hope. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid today. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. These simple words, coupled with Martin Luther King's speech of having a dream that showed racial equality, gave hope that difficulties do not last forever. We will win the day. God is in charge. There is no timeline of when the object of hope will intervene, but there is an inner assurance that it will happen. How? Partly change can happen with community action, individuals being agents for change, but most importantly, with the help of the Holy Spirit. How else should one live when in despair? God loves us and does not want us to stay in that state. Our God is a God of hope. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. Hope is mentioned in the Bible 190 times. Some of these scriptures show human hope, such as positive desires for the future. Others show hope as a future goal. And many show God as their hope, in the form of the resurrection of the dead, as well as making things right in healing and restoration. Hope is given in the context of not dashing hopes, hope for a better future, hope giving courage, hope is promise, and hope is deep trust as we depend on God. That kind of hope is like an anchor in stormy seas. Hebrews 6, verse 19 shares that hope in God in Christ is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. This refers to hope as essential for intimacy with God. John Piper says that he loves the way that the psalmists wrestle, fight, and struggle to maintain their hope in God. Often the unknown timeline puts a question mark in the minds of those seeking a way out of their struggle. We want to say, when, Lord, when? Psalm 119, verse 81 shares this anguish when the psalmist says, I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. But relax, there is nothing wrong with you feeling this way. You haven't failed, and God's faithfulness is not at risk. Our understanding of God's time isn't accurate. John Piper notes that this is a normal Christian experience. We need to realize that this is normal, or else we may grow sluggish and negligent in our fight for hope. And that is very dangerous. Hope is like a reservoir of emotional strength. May the Holy Spirit fill us all with a deep reservoir of hope to sustain us as we look to Him. May we not run empty. If we persevere in trusting the Lord, our hope will not disappoint us. Biblical hope is not a mere desire for something good to happen. It is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Biblical hope has a moral certainty in it. When the psalmists say hope in God, it does not mean cross your fingers. It means, to use the words of William Carey, to expect great things from God. William Carey was the father of modern missions, who endured much suffering as a pioneer in India. Yet when he turned to translating Indian languages for both the Bible and Indian literature, his hope in reaching the people was realized. But Carey was right. Biblical hope does include expectation in God, in His character, His goodness, and His faithfulness to His promises. After all, God has been called the hope of Israel and the hope of the nations. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verse 21 shares that Jesus' name will be the hope of all the world. We are given a promise in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That hope includes restoration, healing, and more. I've been given prophetic promises for my healing, and yet I've had a difficult summer full of skin diseases and viruses. However, in the midst of it, I've been encouraged with hope. Our friend Rihanna leads the Sunday school in our church in Worcester. She called to encourage me with the new Bethel song, "I Raise a Hallelujah," which is a song about a concert of prayer in the midst of a small child's illness. This child was at death's door, and the worship leader felt hope and a determination rise in his heart, where he said no to that child's death. That prayer was answered, and through this song of hope, many have been encouraged. It's already a well-loved song in many places across the world, including Avian Park. The Bethel song video went viral on social media. It gave people hope. It reminded them that our God is a God of hope. It reminded me, in the midst of a painful rash of boils and carbuncles, that God was still in control and that He would navigate me out of the suffering. The hope was like a lasso to encircle me and pull me out of despair. In the North American West and the Argentinian Pampas, there are cowboys who help raise cattle. Some cattle are lassoed to safety if they get out of step. This is what God's hope did with me. Another way of understanding this hope is to imagine a swimming pool lifeguard throwing out a life preserver ring to a drowning person. That ring is connected to the lifeguard by a floating rope. There is help when you grab onto that ring so you don't sink into the water. Job 5 verses 15 to 16 share this hope. He rescues the poor from the cutting words of the strong and rescues them from the clutches of the powerful. And so at last the poor have hope, and the snapping jaws of the wicked are shut. Psalm 10 verse 17 shares, "Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them." Hope is a constant theme in the Psalms. It's one of the goals of restoring your situation for the better. David often reminded himself to not continue in grief and depression, but to look up to God, to trust Him, and to have hope in His faithfulness. Psalm 42 verse 11 shares David's heart. "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." He also asked God for His guidance and direction in Psalm 25, verse 5. "Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you." Also, listen to Psalm 33, verse 20. "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Hope points outside yourself towards the one who can help. Currently, there is an obsession with superheroes, either the kind that arise from comics or those that arise from science fiction. In these stories, Batman, Spider-Man, The Flash, and Arrow all battle those who oppress the innocent. In the case of my favorite science fiction show, Doctor Who, it's the same. The Doctor intervenes and saves Earth and other planets from the monsters yet again. One episode in season 4 of The New Who has companion Martha speak to people all over the world about the Doctor. The people have been oppressed by the evil Time Lord, the Master, who turned the Earth into a slave state. Martha was to instill hope in each person so that they would think and, in a sense, pray for the Doctor's intervention. The Doctor was imprisoned in the cage for a year, but during that time, he patched himself into a worldwide satellite system that suppressed the thoughts, dreams, and prayers of the entire population. The Master used the system to superimpose control over the people, as well as instilling fear from random killing. Yet those satellites under the Doctor's control could be reversed. Instead, the people could think for themselves for one specific moment. They all called out for the Doctor in their thoughts and hoped for his intervention. Martha was captured on a false errand, and she was questioned by the Master in the Doctor's company. When she told him the real weapon that she had to defeat the Master, he replied with contempt, "Is that your weapon? Prayer." She said, "If everyone right across the world at one specific time thinks one word, one thought, one moment, but with 15 satellites, and that word is Doctor, Whovians know what happens next. The Doctor recovers, is released, and saves the day." This episode is one of the strongest examples of the power of hope in that show. If this hope is powerful, how much more would real hope be in a real and living God? Psalm 65 verse 5 shares, "You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God, our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail in distant seas." Psalm 125 verse 15 reminds us, "The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it." And so Psalm 78 verse 7 encourages us to pass on our hope to the next generation. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. Hope is still future-oriented in difficult times, so we must renew our hope as we renew our minds. This requires active perseverance despite moments of heart sickness, like Proverbs 13 verse 12, which says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." Psalm 143 verse 4 shows panic in the moment by sharing, "I am losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear." These moments are real, and while we are stuck in them, they can seem long. Psalm 119 verse 81 shares that the waiting can make one weary, "For I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word." Yet we can take comfort that hope consoles. It gives strength and renewed joy. Psalm 94 verse 19 shares, "When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer." Psalm 146 verse 5 reminds us that hope and joy are connected by sharing, "But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God." In short, the Psalms are full of hope. The New Testament gives added depth to hope. Now we have the element of hope in the resurrection, of God's restoration of triumphing over evil. Peter shared during Pentecost by quoting a prophetic promise of David. David hoped in the Messiah. Peter shared in Acts 2 verses 25 to 27, King David said this about Jesus, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave." David had proclaimed his hope that he would be raised from the dead, as well as hoping for the coming Messiah. That same hope of resurrection at the end of time was a theme with the Apostle Paul, especially since it was a concept that the Pharisees believed in. In Acts 26 verse 6, Paul shares, "Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors." This same hope fulfilled was echoed when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have had no hope." Hope in the afterlife and restoration is the cornerstone of Christian hope. This isn't just about being saved from bad circumstances, but this is a complete reversal of evil in the world. Meanwhile, we are to have hope while suffering. No one is immune to difficulties and sufferings in different forms. Right now, persecution of Christians and also of Jews has steadily increased. There are more Christians who have died for their faith in the past 100 years than all of history. Jews are also targeted, as they have been for centuries. It wasn't just the Holocaust and the pogroms. Ministries like Open Doors and Voice of the Martyrs share about the countries where it is dangerous to be a Christian. I was in one of those countries, Pakistan. I ministered with refugees from another country, the Somalis. But there are so many more suffering people. Yet, has persecution stopped the growing Christian underground movement in China or Iran? No, on the contrary, it's only increased it. Paul shares in Romans 5 verses 3 to 5 that we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Hope also sustains, especially if you keep your mind and heart focused. Don't keep your eyes on your circumstances. Paul shares a prayer in Romans 15, verse 13. He says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." He shares another prayer in Ephesians 1 verse 18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. It's good that hope brings comfort, joy, and sustains us. It also brings us purpose. As Christians, we have a purpose in our identity as sons and daughters. We are not orphans. Paul shares in Ephesians 2, verse 12, that in previous days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in the world without God and without hope. When people around us see that we are not fearful or in despair due to what's happening in the world around us, they ask us why we are hopeful and how we can cope. We're not just coping. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you thrive, although the journey isn't easy. Peter shares in 1 Peter 3, verses 13 to 15 about persecution. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. In the midst of sharing our hope in God's promises, we are given the same endurance as the great heroes of our faith. Hebrews 6 verses 10 to 12 share that we are given perseverance. A strong component of hope is to stay steadfast. This is not wishful thinking, but it is powerful. This is the type of hope a missionary feels when they are loving and pouring into the people in their lives. God strengthens those who stay the course, as well as those who receive hope in Jesus through them. Here's the passage. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. So let us join with the writer of Hebrews when he says in chapters 10, verses 23 to 24, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." So hope has a component of strengthening us with the perseverance we need to carry on in life, in work, in relationships, and in our faith. Is hope a stepping stone to faith? I believe that it's part of it. Earlier I mentioned that hope to me is like a life preserver as you float on a sea of hard times. It is future-focused, with an assurance that we will be rescued. Faith is more like walking on the water of that same sea. Both are a journey that grow us deeply. The writer to the Hebrews shares in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So hope is the springboard to faith. Wherever there is full assurance of hope, there is faith. Faith is the full assurance of hope. We'll journey together more about hope in our next broadcast. Perhaps we'll take a visit to our own Cape of Good Hope here in the Western Cape. Lord, thank you that you are indeed the God of hope, the God of Israel, and the hope of the nations. We thank you for your persevering power that gives us strength despite difficulty, and your comfort in the midst of suffering. Lord, fill us with your hope that will reorient us in you. Deepen our anchor so that we won't be shipwrecked in the middle of the storm. Like the Bethel song, we raise a hallelujah in the midst of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear our praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. May all who hear my voice now have hope rise within them. Carry them, Lord, through their difficulties. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Jesus, in you the nations will put their hope.
Yeah, yeah. In you the nations. Hope of the nations.
look up in hope, look up in wonder, where your eyes shine, there your footsteps will follow, look up in joy, reach out for freedom, where your heart lies now, you'll find yourself tomorrow. No more weeping, no more turning back, no more clawing at the wounds that never healed, no more peering into that darkened room. Time to lift your heart and see what's now revealed. Look up in hope, look up in wonder, where your eyes shine, there your footsteps will follow. Look up in joy, reach out for freedom, where your heart lies now, you'll find yourself tomorrow. No more speaking all of your darkest fears, no more conjuring the things you want to leave. Paint your vision in all of your brightest hues, then step inside the painting and create what you believe. Look up in hope, look up in wonder, where your eyes shine, there your footsteps will follow. Look up in joy, reach out for freedom, where your heart lies now, you'll find yourself tomorrow. If you stare into the shadows, they may swallow you. Looking back, you'll only see what's gone. But gaze unto the sky and you'll feel the wings to fly, unfolding from your shoulder blades like petals in the dawn. Look up in hope, look up in wonder, where your eyes shine, there your footsteps will follow. Look up in joy, reach out for freedom, where your heart lies now, you'll find yourself tomorrow. Where your heart lies now, you'll find yourself tomorrow.
Two songs about hope there. Firstly, Brian Dirksen's Hope of the Nations, and secondly, Eileen McCann's Looking Up in Hope. This brings us towards the end of today's Worcester Report, and I thank you for listening, as does Laurie Ann, and we look forward to having you with us a week from today. But we've still got a few minutes, so let's listen to Johnny Cash's concept of the Hope of the Nations.
Here was a man. A man who was born in a small village, the son of a peasant woman. He grew up in another small village. Until he reached the age of 30, he worked as a carpenter. Then for 3 years, he was a traveling minister. But he never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born. And where he did go, he usually walked. He never held political office. He never wrote a book. He never bought a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. And he never set foot inside a big city. But yes, here was a man. Though he never did the things that you'd usually associate with greatness, here was a man. He had no credentials but himself. He had nothing to do with this world except through the divine purpose that brought him to this world. And while he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. Most of his friends ran away. One of them denied him, one of them betrayed him, and turned him over to his enemies. Then he went through the mockery of a trial, and he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And even while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had in the world, and that was his robe. When he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed grave provided by compassionate friends. More than 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race, our leader in the column to human destiny. And I think I'm well within the mark when I say that all of the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever sailed the seas, all of the legislative bodies that ever sat, and all of the kings that ever reigned, all of them put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth so powerfully as that one solitary life. Here was a man.